One of the most, I guess, impactful things on me is what I want to share today. It's something that I looked at probably, well, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, the first time I ever saw it, which is part of what was at the time 3DM Ministries. And it's about relationship and challenge in our life. And it's a matrix. We call it a matrix, so we're going to look at that shortly. But basically, where am I challenged in my life, and where's the relationship in my life according to discipling? Now, if you're not a Christian, discipling might be a foreign word to you, but it's almost like the word apprentice, where we learn from someone else, we walk life with them, and learn how to do something. It's almost like that. So the word disciple itself actually means learner, someone who learns. And as Christians, we can be Christians, but we can also not be disciples. I know it sounds weird, but we can believe in Jesus Christ, but we might not follow him at all in our life. In other words, we believe that Jesus died for us. We believe in the cross. We believe in the salvation from sin, but we choose not to actually follow after him. And there's a massive difference. The Bible talks about how Satan and the demons, they believe in Jesus. Yet it's doing them no good, is it? They're opposed to him. They don't want to follow him, and they're not living for him. And so it's not just enough for us to say, yeah, I'm a believer. I believe in Jesus. There has to be, at some stage in our life, this transformation from the person that we used to be into the person that Christ has made us. The Bible talks about it many times. Take off the old, put on the new. Change. Renew your mind. Through the word of God, renew your mind. The way you think, don't be conformed to the world. There's so many things in the Bible that talk about this new life that we have, but so many Christians fail to enter into it. And we sort of looked at that a little bit last week when I was talking about how many Christians fail to enter into the rest, because they actually aren't siding with the people of faith. They believe in Jesus, but they actually don't enter into a rest. And so their Christian life is actually quite tumultuous. It's not really peaceful because they haven't really cemented the fellowship with Jesus Christ that they should have done. I was thinking about what an apprentice looks like. What happens when you take up an apprenticeship? Now, I'm presuming, not being an apprentice myself, but from other people that I've known, there's usually a contract that's being signed between the employer and the employee to say, you know, we're going to look after you for this certain number of years. As you're here, we're going to teach you and train you in what you must do so that at the end of it, you have some skills. However, we have to recognize that after a four-year apprenticeship, you don't know everything still, right? There's still skills lacking in your life, and if you hadn't had someone who looked after you well, probably you're not even going to be great at that job. Within that, there's some formal learning that goes on as well, but most of the learning is done on the job. So you're learning how to do the job, the way you do things, and sometimes the theory and the practical don't always match up as well. As an employer myself, I found that you could have people that had lots of qualifications but absolutely no skill. So we'd have someone who came to our job. We were tree loppers, but we had bobcats. We did landscaping and irrigation and things like that as well. But you could get someone who comes in and they've got all the qualifications. They've been to every uni course. They've done their 1 week's bobcat course. They've done their, you know, their high, whatever it is, high access course, whatever it might be. And they come to you with these qualifications that you look at, which is what a lot of the world requires for things, right? It's like this bit of paper that says, yeah, you're qualified. But they come in and they could not do the job half as good as someone else who had been doing it all their life. Yet that person didn't have a bit of paper. And so there's this sort of writing off of those people that often happens in society. Like, well, if you don't have that bit of paper, you can't do it. I don't know if you've ever been to sports grounds and watched games, but inevitably there's these little kids like from this high, and you see them growing up, and these kids go along every week with their mum and dad, or their dad, or just their mum, whatever it might be, but you see them out on the field practicing the skills that that would be something that they might use in the future. They're looking at their mum, their dad, looking at them playing sport, and they see it and they're like, man, I can do that too. And what happens is that their life becomes that. It's all about AFL, or all about rugby, or netball, or cricket, whatever it might be, but they've identified with something and they grow up in that culture and they become immersed in it. And at the end of it, most of those kids have a very good level of skill, more than those that don't grow up in that culture, that society. And so it was the same with work. You know, you'd have a guy that's been welding for years, or someone who'd been working on cars for years with their dad since they were a toddler. They'd grown up, they'd known everything, but they were not a qualified mechanic. They weren't qualified in what they did. Yet you look at their life and you go, man, you have got skills. You've got something far more than someone else who has a bit of paper. And what I want to talk about today is really to challenge us to say, are you a head knowledge Christian? Are you someone who can come in and say, yeah, I've got the certificate of Christianity, I'm qualified? Or are you someone who has placed your life to learn from Christ and from others who are Christians? And also, have you put yourself in a situation where you are challenging and in relationship with someone else who is growing as a Christian? Because what I'd like to see in this church is that we develop such a culture. And I was talking about it there just before with in regard to our children. What are they growing up with? And what I said last week about this is, if someone followed you around all week, they were brand new, they were just born again yesterday, and you were the person put in charge of their life to show them how to grow as a Christian, how to be someone who loves God, how to exhibit Christian behaviors. If that person was assigned to you for the week to walk around with you to see what a Christian's like, what a Christian does, how a Christian thinks, how a Christian talks, how a Christian acts, how a Christian behaves, what would that look like to them? What would it look like to them? Because that is the challenge that Christ threw out to his disciples, come follow me. It wasn't a shallow, like, I just come wherever I go. It was like, back in those days, the rabbis used to have students, and Jesus was called a rabbi many times, and the students would come and live with them. If they got out of the left-hand side of the bed, they'd get out of the left-hand side of the bed. If they prayed at a certain time of the day, they'd pray at that time of day. Whatever it is that they did, they would mimic them. They were immersed in the culture of who they should be, and we need to ask that question of ourselves. If we want to say that we are Christian, and we were assigned someone who just got born again yesterday, and they walked with us for a week, a month, a year, what would be the end product? What would be the end product of that? Would it be someone who loves to pray, that loves to read the word, that loves to love others, that cares about others, that cares about the community? Is that what they would see? Or would they see someone who's critical, uncommitted, doesn't really pray, that changes who they are when they're at work, at church, with family, with friends? What would the ultimate outcome of that experience be for that person? Is that challenging for you? It challenges me because I'm like, am I living out the life of Christ before those who are new believers? At the end of the day, if I was to produce someone who had the heart for God like I have, what would it actually look like? It's almost terrifying, right? But it's a challenge that we need to enter into as Christians, and that's what I wanted to talk about today. You see, following Jesus is not just believing in him. And I want to talk about it from two aspects today. One is, you have to make a decision to follow Jesus. But also, if you have been a Christian for a long time, you have to make an intentional, committed decision that you're going to help others follow Jesus. And in the end, it all comes down to this: you have to enter into relationship with people. Without that relationship, you're not going to be able to be discipled. And you are not going to be able to disciple anybody. So to receive the full benefit of your Christianity, it means that you have to make a decision that I am actually going to follow Jesus. Not just believe in Jesus, not just make a prayer one day that says I invite Jesus into my heart, but say, I'm going to let my life be changed. I'm not going to be the same as I am today. I'm not going to be the same person I was when I met Jesus. I'm going to follow him. Now, to follow him means a few things. We'll just look at a couple of verses here because I just wanted to show you that Jesus called. So Matthew 4:19, Jesus called out to them, said, come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. Later on in Matthew, Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn away from your selfish ways, take up your cross and follow me. Now the problem is, I think, that when we think follow, we don't mean take up the cross. Get rid of your selfish ways. And Jesus almost intentionally, as you read through the Gospels, the challenge that he gives gets greater and greater. The first challenge is basically this: oh, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Now that's not a bad challenge, is it? Like if I said to you, hey, look, you know, come to Jesus, he'll give you peace and joy if you follow after him, and you know, he'll teach you how to live your life well. We'd all be like, yeah, I think I can do that. That sounds really quite beneficial. But as Jesus walked with the disciples and his relationship grew with them, the challenge became greater and greater. It sort of went from come and follow me to come and die with me. If anyone wants to keep their life, they must lose it. They must lay down their life if they really want life. And that's that second one there is a little bit like that. It's sort of this increasing challenge in the disciples' life. It wasn't like, just come and follow me and I'll teach you how to fish men. All of a sudden it's like, now we're getting down to business, guys. You're going to have to make some decisions that are actually going to cost you what you are living like now because you need to change. You're going to have to take up this cross. You're going to have to deny your own selfish ways. And you're going to have to follow me. Now, if I give that challenge out to you guys today, isn't that a lot harder than, you know, come and receive Jesus and he'll give you forgiveness for sins, which is absolutely 100% true. The challenge then is how do I actually give up my selfish ways and live for Jesus? Because salvation is great, but following Christ is better. Because what happens is as we come and be more like him and follow after his commands, we receive a blessing on our life today that we cannot have when we continue on in sin, even though we're saved. I know that sounds a bit bizarre, but our righteousness in Christ. And so what I would love to do is throw out a challenge to our church today. What sort of culture are we creating? What sort of culture are you entering into? And I want to challenge those who are believers that are not fully connected into this body, that come and go without actually entering into any relationship with anyone here, to make a decision today, I'm going to change that. The reason being is that you're missing out on the fullness of Christ. For those of you who have been Christians for a really long time, I'm going to throw out a challenge that perhaps you start to take more interest in growing other people to be like Christ. So in other words, I want us to create a culture in this church. It's funny when you ask people about discipleship, you know, what it is to them. And I've asked numbers of people, and many times the answer is this: yeah, I did a discipling course. I did a discipling course for 6 weeks and now I can disciple people. And that sort of goes back to that first point I made, that how often it is that we, especially as Western people, believe that education is the same as living out our life. I've got my certificate in discipleship, so therefore I'm a disciple. Imagine if that was Jesus with the disciples. You know, he says, come and follow me 6 weeks later. Congratulations, everyone. Tick. You are now a disciple. Jesus walked with those guys for 3 years through good times, bad times in ministry. He challenged them, even to the point where he said to Peter, Satan, get behind me. Where the disciples knew in the end that there was no other way than Jesus. When he had to go to a town where he might get stoned and killed, he said, well, you don't have to come. And basically they're like, where else are we going to go? It's like, oh, come on, guys, let's go. Let's go get stoned with Jesus. I don't mean that stone, yes, see that. But had rocks thrown at them and pummeled to the ground and killed. They got to that point in their life by the end of Jesus' ministry with them that they were like, well, where else are we going to find the words of life? That speaks to me that they were immersed in something far greater than a certificate of discipleship. They had gone from people who didn't even know about Jesus when he said, oh, come and follow me, to the point where they were like, we have got seriously nowhere else to go. No one else offers you life like you do. And we know that's true, don't we? It's only Jesus. He's the only way to the Father. So it starts with salvation. Of course it does. We get saved. We receive the Holy Spirit. And we become God's children. That prayer that we pray, God, come into my life. I believe Jesus died for my sin. But that is just the start of your journey as a Christian, not the finish line. It's just the first step into life with Christ. And it's amazing how many times people want heaven, but they don't want Christ. At the end of their life, they're saying, oh, yeah, we just want to be in heaven, but I'm rejecting you, God, now. We who are Christians have said, no, this life now that I live, it belongs to you. So let's have a little look at this matrix. Oh, wait, I think I've got another verse in Acts. Let's bring that up. Acts 4:13. And this is just to let you know that you don't have to be someone smart. You don't have to be someone educated to be a disciple. You don't have to be someone full of great, amazing oratory skills. But what you do need to do is hang out with Jesus a bit. This is what happened. Peter and John had healed a lame man. They were brought before the members of the council, the Jewish council, that were very angry because of all the commotion they caused, but they couldn't deny the miracle. But what I love is this. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Come on, guys, that's us. You know, sometimes you look at your own life and you're like, well, I've got no special training. How can I teach someone about Christ? Look at that. They recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Isn't that what we want to be to those that are coming up, following after us in Christ? That they look at you and they go, man, I recognize you obviously have been with Jesus. I can see your life is so transformed and changed and bubbly, and you're full of joy and love and grace and truth, and you're so strong and stable in such uncertain times. What is it about you? You didn't go to Bible college. You didn't have some special training, but there's something about you, and let's hope, let's believe, let's pray, let's seek God that it would be that you have been with Jesus. Because that's changing everything for you. And that's the challenge that we want to bring, isn't it? How about you be with Jesus? So let's have a look at our matrix. So I really want to share this, and I want you to understand what it's all about, because for me it's transformed the way I think. Hopefully it will for you as well. So this is how it works. You have four quadrants. You have high invitation, low challenge, high challenge. And we're going to talk about this in terms of you with your life and how you react to other people as well. And what we're going to talk about is the sort of culture that develops in each of those quadrants. So if you look at it there, you'll see there'll be a low challenge, low invitation quadrant there. There'll be a high invitation, low challenge. High invitation, high challenge. Low invitation, high challenge. And this is really important for you if you want to grow in Christ. So we're just going to have a look at all the quadrants one by one. Let's go with the first one, please. This is a place, so think about this as your Christian walk. Where are you right now? High invitation, low challenge. There we've written chaplaincy quadrant, or cozy culture. In your Christian life, you can become really cozy. Everyone loves each other. We care about you. But there's no way that we're going to challenge you about anything in your life. We're not really wanting you to change. We just want to love you through your troubles and your trials, and we'll give you some love. It becomes very cozy. It can happen with churches as well. Our next one, low challenge, low invitation. Boring quadrant, apathetic culture. What I want you to do is say, are you a bored Christian today? It's very likely that you're living right there. You have no relationship with anybody, and you're never challenged about your life, your Christian life, and so you're absolutely bored with your Christianity. The thing is, when we build this sort of culture, what happens is that we never grow together as a body. This is not where we want to be as a church, is it? I come on Sunday, I leave. That's it. No one loves me, no one cares for me, but I don't really care because I don't love or care for them either. And I'm never challenged in my faith. But I was baptized when I was a kid. I go at Christmas and Easter, and therefore I'm safe in my faith. The next one, low invitation, high challenge. What happens here? Stressful or discouraged? Perhaps this is where you are. How does this happen? This is all about the business of Christianity, right? I'm going to highly challenge you. I'm going to put challenges in your life. But I'm actually not caring about you at all. We could become this as a church. Everybody, we need to do something. What? You're tired. You're exhausted from doing. Oh, okay. Sorry. Next. Now it's your turn. Don't worry about that person. They're finished. They're burnt out. But we can also put ourselves in that quadrant as well, can't we? Where we are always being challenged, but we never have the relationship with someone else. We haven't put ourselves in relationship. Can you see how that works? There's this massive high challenge on our life, but no one cares about me. There's a lot of activity, but no love. Are you like that with people in your life sometimes? Where you're always demanding from them. Now, I would put to you that the people that can challenge me the most are not the people that have no relationship with me, but those that have relationship with me. And let's look at that one, the last one, the high invitation, high challenge. Because this is where we want to be as a church and as individuals. It's a discipling quadrant. It's the empowered culture. This is how I want to live as a Christian. And I deliberately put myself into mentorship things because I know I need that challenge in my life. I deliberately make sure I meet regularly with other Christians in connect groups or other groups where there's something about that group, but it's not a place I go where everyone just kumbayas me. You know, like I go to my connect group and we actually never get challenged about life. We're just loved. I don't want to go to that other one where, like, the boring quadrant, apathetic. I know you don't care for me and there's no challenge ever, so actually I don't ever go to Connect Group anymore. And I don't want to be in that one there where it's stressful. I know that there's always a challenge on my life, but never any love. You need that high invitation and high challenge in your life. Why? I said it before, the people that can challenge me the most are the people that love me the most. And one of the problems that we have sometimes in Christianity is we think we have the right to speak into other people's lives without loving them first. We want to get them right before we love them. We want to make sure that they change before we care about them. And that's not a way to be a Christian. For those of us who are looking after and loving others, first of all, we have to make sure that there's an invitation into our life. Jesus did it very well to the disciples. He said, come and follow me. Now, like I said, he didn't mean just, you know, hang around sometimes. They walked with, lived with Jesus. They felt his love in his relationship. Why is it that we see at the Last Supper that one of the disciples is leaning on Jesus? You don't lean on someone unless there's some form of closeness, of relationship. Is that correct? And Jesus said some pretty harsh things to the disciples over the time. The truth is that some walked away and some stayed. Because if you are a Christian, you also have to open up yourself to be challenged as well. You have to open up yourself to say, I need this in my life. I need someone to actually say to me, why did you speak to your wife that way? Why did you speak to your husband that way? Why are you being inappropriate? Why are you lying? Why are you cheating? Why are you stealing? Why aren't you living for Jesus? Because the truth is, without challenging your life, you'll just continue on exactly as you are and never change. But here's the problem, as I said. If we don't build relationships of love first, it falls on deaf ears. And I know that's true. Because in my life, when someone I don't know, doesn't love me, comes and challenges me about something, I'm like, get lost. Basically. Who do you think you are telling me what to do? Someone else with that relationship with me, that love relationship, comes and says, Neil, that needs to change. I'll be like, I don't really like it. But I know enough about you that you know me and you love me and you care about me, that what you're saying to me is not for your benefit, it's for mine. And it allows me to take it on board. It allows the life of Christ actually begin to transform me. Can you see how that works? The empowered culture. And Christians, we need to make sure that we're not fluffy, lovey-dovey Christians that never challenge anyone. But we also need to make sure we're not Christians that challenge everyone but never love them. And we're never fluffy-duffy. The invitation and the challenge. It's as simple as that. I look at that and I'm like, man, I can see churches like that that I've been in. I can see how people are in those cultures. And it's really important to remember, I had to share that with you. Just take a little bit of time and I'll just go through them again. Think about yourself, first of all. Jesus said, come follow me. Are you following him? Have you placed yourself in one of these quadrants, or are you creating a culture of these quadrants? Number one, the cozy culture. Are you a person who just wants everybody to love you, but you never want to be challenged? You cannot be a disciple. Are you someone who doesn't want to enter into relationships? You never want to be challenged. You cannot be a disciple. Are you someone, now this is probably more on the other side, are you someone who demands so much of everybody but never loves them? You cannot be a discipler. Are you someone who loves greatly and challenges well? You can be a discipler. And just like everything with God, it's our choice. the curse and the blessing of free will. What are we going to enter into today? Now just look at Acts chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. And I just want to really, this is just a little bit before when they were marveling at the brilliance of the disciples and saying, we've seen them with Jesus. But I just want to put this out there to everyone who's there that this is where it starts, but it's not where it finishes. Salvation is an ongoing work. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. This is the start. Perhaps you've never even gone to the starting line yet. I can tell you right now, if you want salvation, Jesus is the only way. You need to start with that. Invite him into your life. Ask him for forgiveness of your sin. And the problem is that so many people reject Christ, but they reject the very one who can save their soul when they do that. Don't be that person today. Ask him in. But then those of us who are Christian, make sure we enter in to first of all being one who follows, but then also being one that leads others to this Christ whose name is the only way for salvation. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you that you are the author of life and the giver of life and that you gave us Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that when we accept him, we are saved. But Lord, I want to pray over this church, this power, Lord God, to be a place that we disciple others. And Lord, also that we might enter into discipling relationships with someone else. Father, forgive us for our lack of care or lack of love. Forgive us for our lack of entering in. Today, we want to live for you. So, Father, I'm praying that empowerment over every person here in Cornerstone to put themselves into relationships where they can be challenged, but also where they can be loved. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thanks, guys. Now, it may be that you want to accept Jesus Christ. I've thrown that challenge out today. If that's you this morning, I'm just going to pray a prayer. You pray with me and ask him into your life. After that, we're going to be singing, and the front in our church is always open for people who want prayer for something. How do you know if you want prayer for something? Because you want to go out the front, but you're scared. Come out the front and just get prayer. It's amazing how God can meet people up here just because you step out. Perhaps, yeah, you're not saved. You've never invited Jesus into your life. I just wonder if everyone could just bow their heads, close their eyes. I'm just going to ask that if that's you today, you just pray with me this prayer. Father God, I'm so sorry that I've sinned against you. Forgive me. Today, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. I thank you that he died on the cross for me to take the punishment, to take the judgment for my sin. I don't know how it's going to happen, God, but I'm just asking you today, come into my life. From this day on, I want to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, you talk to the person you came with. If you didn't come with anyone, come and see me up the front. Even after everyone goes out, there's no drama there. Then we'll just pray together and we'll talk about the next steps of becoming an actual disciple of Jesus.